You know the power your voice carries. You know your message changes people's lives. In real life, people like to listen to you. You know how to deliver your message. But the moment you're in front of camera, everything changes. Your voice, your mimic, and overall, your reels, your content look like another person is speaking. My guest, Laura Dillman, is a former IT sales executive, turned actor, voiceover artist, speaker, author, and on-camera communication coach. Laura transforms flat, forgettable delivery into confident, scroll-stopping presence. Welcome to the Online Business by Design podcast. I'm your host, Ivana Ivanek, and this is your mindset and marketing podcast to help you build a business next to your 9-to-5 without burning out. And most importantly, enjoying your business journey while you're making money and impact. Grab your favorite note-taking device, lean back, and get inspired. I believe that everything you need to build a business of your dreams is already within you. Welcome back, friends, to another episode of the Online Business by Design podcast. It's your host, Ivana Ivanek. Thank you for being here today with us. But before we start, I would like to invite you to head over to Apple Podcast if you're listening over Apple and leave us that review. Because only if we know that you like this show, that you enjoy the topics, that you are learning something from it, we can deliver more of it. So let us know, share with someone who needs to hear this message. And if you're a Spotify listener, leave us a comment, leave the star reviews. Because I have to say, we have more listeners than subscribers, which is usually the case. But the more subscribers we have, the more excellent guests I can get on here. And I want to deliver the best of the best of the best for you to move forward quickly, with ease, and to just prevent you from all these detours that we have made in our lives. And we want you to have an easier pathway to your business success. Today with me is the amazing Laura Dillman. I invited Laura because I know I'm having conversations globally with digital entrepreneurs that haven't been really a lot in front of camera because school is not teaching us yet how to be in front of camera unless you're an actor. But not everyone is an actor who wants to then become a service provider and build their own business. So being in front of camera is our future, friends. And I know the discomfort. I know the feelings, the emotions we are going through, the embarrassment, the self-sabotaging thoughts, the self-judgment. But I have someone today on the show who is going to help us go through this and help us become an overall better speaker. So our message becomes unforgettable and magnetic. Hello, Laura.
Hello, and thank you for having me on your show.
I'm so excited for this conversation. It is so timely. It is so important. And I think what I have always learned is if we get a little bit of a direction, a little bit of an advice and implement it immediately, so much can change almost in the moment. So I can't wait to deep dive into how to speak in front of camera confidently. But before that, I would like to know what has made you go from sales in IT from a 100 Fortune company to becoming an actor?
Really? It's not a normal progression?
I wouldn't say so.
No, I guess I did take a bit of a right turn, left turn, however you want to call it. Well, that's just because I wanted to follow my passion in life. Mm-hmm. I have a philosophy. Before we are permanently horizontal, when we're on our deathbed, I don't want to have any rejects. I don't want to have any regrets. I don't want to have any thoughts about what I could have, should have, but was afraid to try. And so I decided to follow something I loved ever since I was a little kid. You know, I was that theater kid. When I was in high school, I was giving the morning announcements. Even when I had a corporate job, I was doing theater and other stuff on the side. And I just finally decided, you know what? It's time. I am going to be an actor. And so I went through a lot of training. Fortunately, I'm in Atlanta, where there's an amazing film and TV base. Lots of action here. Got some excellent training. I started booking some small jobs. I got myself an agent. I expanded into voiceover, got more agents. And then it continued on. Sometimes you just got to dive in with both feet, decide what you want, have a clear vision. And one thing I would tell you, for anybody who wants to make a sudden shift in whatever you're doing, realize that your old skills come to play, but in a new way, in a different career. One of the things I always found was so interesting is that in the business world, there weren't a lot of outwardly artistic, creative people. I mean, yeah, there were some here and there, but not much. But when I got in the creative world, people are amazed by anybody who could be organized and self-disciplined. And that was a shocker. But it definitely helps when you're trying to run a business and when you are trying to do the PR and the networking and so forth. And a lot of that old experience, guess what? I do play it on film and on TV and all kinds of other places.
I hear you. Often people say that when if they want to transition or take a leap or do something differently, I will always say we do not feel that calling if we wouldn't have it within already. Like no one comes really up with something, I'm going to do XYZ, and it's so far away from our skill set, from our knowledge, from our wisdom, experiences, and resources. I think the magic really lies into the translation of who we are, what we already have, and how can we implement it into the new sector, into the new industry, into what we are actually meant to be doing. And I strongly believe that those skill sets everyone has. And if everybody listening to this, knowing that there is a calling and you are meant for more, then just put that on paper and see what all your corporate job has taught you over the years, university, etc., and how you can implement this. Like I'm doing this for a living to help people do that, but I haven't seen anyone who came to me saying like, no, I've got nothing. I have a dream, but I have nothing to deliver. I love that you have translated everything into your passion and now living your passion as well. You're traveling around the globe, you're speaking, you're writing, and you're helping people getting over that camera discomfort. How have you gotten over that discomfort? Or how have you discovered the camera discomfort? Have you ever had it? Or was it something quite natural that came to you?
From where I'm coming from is I've always been a little bit of a ham. But still, I am like everybody else out there, especially women. And we are just so worried about how we look, we sound, the impression that we give. And men have this too, but I find it is even more prevalent and more accentuated in women. And it runs something like this. Oh, I am too old. I'm not attractive enough. I'm not experienced enough. People are going to see that I am really a fraud, etc. Even when you're young, oh, people aren't going to take me seriously. How can I come and tell somebody who's older to do this? And, you know, my voice goes up and I look uncertain. So you've got to work with your voice. There are some nice things about getting older for anybody who is watching or listening. As you get older, especially move into your 50s and beyond, you don't care so much what other people think. I mean, it's true. You're much more confident in who you are. And naturally, I think with the experience in life, most of us think, I am what I am. Here I am. I will give you my best. I'll give it to you honestly. I'll give it to you nicely. But if it's not for you, that's okay. One size doesn't fit all. And that kind of goes into the whole idea of brutal self-judgment. The reason that people trip themselves up, the reason people aren't themselves on camera, and that means putting on a fake presentation voice and you just don't sound right, is because you are standing aside from your message, looking and judging yourself and finding yourself wanting. How do you get over that? The very first thing I would say is focus on your message. Focus on what you want to share with other people. And remember one very important thing. The goal is not perfection. We can hide out there. It does a pretty good job of looking perfect. It's not. It's missing a lot of stuff. But the goal for human viewers, for listeners, is not necessarily perfection. There are several elements we want to hear. First of all, usually we're watching or listening. Either we want entertainment, or more likely we got a problem and we are looking for a solution. Can you help us with this problem? And if you can help us, I don't really care what you look like. Number two, and I'm going to lead into an interesting show and tell on this one, if you haven't noticed already, people love a train wreck. Half the time, we want to see what happens when something goes wrong, and then how are you going to recover so that we learn from that as well. This is my show
so
and
it's
tell.
It's not so scary for us anymore, so we see that it's possible being imperfect.
Yes.
Do it. go through it and still be alive?
Absolutely. Part of the battle, most of the battle is just showing up. Yeah, we say half the battle is just showing up. But for example, I am a human train wreck right now. I don't suppose maybe you've noticed, maybe you haven't, but my eyes are all messed up. I've got a huge, big black and blue swollen eye over here. I got something else going on here. I've got a big goose egg underneath my hair. You can't even tell.
What did
Why?
you do? What happened to you, Laura?
Oh, doesn't this always happen before you go on camera? I had a horrible fall, and no, my husband did not abuse me. He's been on really good behavior because he's afraid everybody will think. He actually ended up have low blood pressure, low blood sugar, and one morning I just went down and I hit a hard tile. And
Oh.
it's really not a pretty sight. And I try to cover up a little bit with makeup, whatever. But the point of it is, I am here. If I were so worried about how I would look, it's like, oh, no, don't look at me. And now you're all looking at your camera saying, oh, yeah, wow. And she didn't do a good job with that makeup trying to cover it because I'm not an artist. But the point of it is, nobody really cares as to why you're listening to this episode. If anything, it becomes more memorable. Yeah. Look, we have this actor showing up with a black eye and God knows what else is going on with her. That's different. That can actually be a positive. But what you really hear is, how can you get better on camera yourself? And I'm just demonstrating how you can go past your own worries and just do it. Just show up. Because what's important is inside, not necessarily on the outside. Now, I will also say that later today, I am driving about 4 hours where I'm going to have a film shoot tomorrow. Fortunately, it's voiceover for an animated film with motion capture instead of on camera, but they'll probably still also look at me a little, okay. You look like in your audition, but
Yeah, are you okay?
I'm okay. You know what? It's the attitude and the gratitude that it wasn't worse. But I say all that because I could have just ignored it and maybe you never would have noticed. But I think it's important to point out perfection
Absolutely. And
is
I'm
not
grateful you do
goal.
because I think this is life. Every time we set out for something bigger, every time we have a plan, every time we have an appointment, it goes from small to big. We either get this pimple or we had a sleepless nights and black eye circles or whatever might happen. And I'm experiencing this too. It's happening every single day. And I don't know where this comes from, that over the years, as social media was evolving and getting bigger and more creators, it's actually becoming less of a social media platform now, but more like a the communication is different and people who go on social media are looking for different things, but it has so evolved into perfectionism that I think we
Yes.
need to change because most of the people with best intentions are struggling going on there because they don't seem to have a perfect life. They don't seem to look perfect, as you say. I'm turned 37 and I discovered wrinkles when I laugh and I was like, oh my God, where is this going? And what filter can get this, away? And I want to see that. But then I realized, like, oh my, hold on. There's going to be much more wrinkles in the future, Ivana. You just might want to get used to this and not play around with filters because there is literally no one is prevented from this. No one is prevented from being tired,
No.
from getting wrinkles, from falling, unfortunately, or whatever that might be. And we do not have to cover that up because that means that we are becoming someone we are not. And this is where stuff gets hard.
And the watchword for the year is authenticity. People don't want fake. In social media, with that image of perfection, people are just putting their best stuff out there. And some of it's not even real. And with AI, people can't tell what's true and what's not. And so I think that human connection, that experience one-on-one is more important. And that's one thing AI can't really do too well. Maybe it'll eventually imitate it. But what human beings do very well intrinsically, and what actors do underneath everything, is to connect one-on-one with people on the other side. Because when you are dealing with a camera, think of it this way: it is a very intimate, personal relationship. Usually, there's one person watching at a time, one person listening at a time. And when you talk to that person on the other end, and there are tricks to be able to do that so it seems real and all that, then you create a connection. You have that emotional bond. And AI can't create an emotional bond. And stories and images and emotions are what reach us. The intellect guides us, it's important. but it's the emotion. And it is so important to be able to truly communicate and connect with people, because people don't know what's real anymore. And I think even that's when imperfection becomes more of the desirable. You know, when I remember traveling in the Middle East, and maybe it was in Turkey, I was over there, and I was looking at some beautiful handmade rugs. Now most of them are machine made, because women and girls have more options. They're not doing it by hand. But I think it was there that they said it was a tradition to leave a little stitch off, one little flaw, so they can prove it was made by a human being and not by a machine. It was deliberate. And that is why oftentimes you will hear stories of actors who were putting something together on film, on TV, and then there was this great scene, a line that is often quoted, and it wasn't in the script. It was improvised. Or somebody had a meltdown, or somebody had a reaction that was totally unintended and wasn't perfect. But oh my gosh, overall, it was just right.
And real at that moment.
And it resonated. And that's what we need to keep in mind. And there are a couple things for people to keep in mind if you're trying to deal with this whole bit about self-judgment and imposter syndrome. One, what people want most is to be loved. What they want to avoid more than anything else is to be humiliated in public. And when we are on camera and we know that this thing is going to sit out there forever, that is the fear and the real risk. We might be self-humiliated. People may not see it as humiliation, but that's where the judgment comes in. That, if you get to the root of it, is really what's happening. So you can decide what you're going to be embarrassed about or not. But people are going to like you, listen to you, and accept what you have to say if you're more honest with them. When we listen to a speaker, let me ask you this. How many times do you identify with a speaker that is gorgeous and svelte and is going on about a weight loss product? Okay. Did you ever have a weight loss problem? Did you ever have a weight problem? Period. As opposed to somebody who looks like the rest of us, who might still be battling something and says, you know, I used to be 250 pounds and I couldn't do this and I couldn't do this in this, that journey. That person is relatable. And we love her even more because she isn't perfect, because that makes sense to us. And that is something that is approachable, understandable, and is more like us. Yeah. That's what people want.
Yeah, especially in the health industry and in the fitness industry, where I initially come from, I remember. And when we work with personal brands in that industry, this is a place where perfection will make people run away from you because it seems like it's unreachable for them. Which I'm not saying don't have your abs. If you have your body you worked for, like hard, and please yes. Show it. But we need to show different aspects of that value you are trying to teach us, which is health and long-term sustainability. Yes. So it doesn't mean that if someone has a perfect six-pack, that there is never a bloated belly. That they have only that six pack the morning they wake up and they are dehydrated. The moment you pour yourself a glass into your luxurious body, there goes your six pack, because it is just what our bodies do. And I think this is, especially in this industry, still being shown way too little. Like, even if you have, so to say, quote unquote, the perfect body, because it is like trained, it's muscular, it has the shapes and everything you wanted. There is no such a thing like perfect looks. Only if you go in a bodybuilding tournament, you will be dehydrated to look at such. And therefore, that's what people like to show off with. In real life, it doesn't really look like this. And I think this applies to so many other areas as well.
And besides, it's all considered, it's all subjective. Now, if you've got a great six pack and you can show a picture of what you were like before and how you got there, well, that's pretty impressive. And people will want to know. But the point of it is, you know, being yourself and being a human being with your flaws and all that, it's okay. And focus on what you have to offer from inside and how you can help somebody else. It's the old idea of how can I serve you? How can I fix your pain? How can I give you value for the time that you are spending with me? So, and that's my whole intention today. What can I do to help you get better on camera? And I could give you all kinds of hints and tips and everything else. So, Bonnie,
I
take it
would
away.
love to know that. I would like to know how can we get better in our delivery, because it is not just what surrounds us, what we show, the areas of life, the flaws, the imperfection. There is also body language, and there is our voice. And I would like to speak
Yes.
about this too a little bit with you.
Oh, absolutely. Good. I've got a whole long thing of putting going down there. And by the way, I keep a lot of newsletters on LinkedIn. I write them on a monthly basis. I just put a post there today about things you shouldn't do on camera. I'll get to that, but let me just start off with the most important thing. One, you can see I've already had some water. H2O is your friend. And that doesn't mean you just drink it while you're on camera. You start drinking it before you go on camera, even if you can an hour or two beforehand. It is going to, as you mentioned, hydrate the body. It is going to loosen up your vocal cords. It is going to make you feel more open and more relaxed. Another thing, if you can do before you get started, get some exercise in. It doesn't have to be calisthenics, but get some basic movement and basic stretching. And if you can't do it, and if you're watching right now, we're going to do some together. Are you ready?
Go. Let's
Okay, then we're going to move on
go.
to other things. Okay, great. And if you're listening, just follow along. I think it's pretty simple. You'll know what I'm talking about. The first thing we got to do before on camera is to get comfortable in our bodies. Let's say we've had our water, but we're still feeling tight and stiff. Our fists are clenched and our jaws are tight and our shoulders are up here around our ears. Well, if you are standing, and right now I'm sitting, you could do some gentle knee bends just up and down. But if you are sitting, come along with me. Let's take our shoulders and bring up really high up to the ears and drop them. Ah, that feels kind of good. Let's do it again. Do it
Das.
up a couple of times, up and down. You feel all of a sudden your shoulders are naturally relaxed. Even your neck feels a little bit better. Get that neck moving around. So move it from side to side, parallel, up. And circles up and down. And when you do that after a while, you might even get your torso. Again, you can just be sitting, but just swivel from side to side. And if you have any physical impairments, just do it within your range. We don't want to hurt anybody. But then let's go in towards the face, because when we are on camera, chances are it's mostly going to be heads and shoulders, pretty much maybe mid-chest. There are techniques if you're going to be full body or three quarters, but most of us are going to be sitting here on our little Zoom boxes. So let's get that face open, because when people are watching you on video, they're looking at your eyes. Okay? They are looking at your eyes, not to see how well you've done any makeup, but to see if you are truthful, authentic, if you believe what you're saying, and if they can believe what you're saying. So, we don't want to look like we're scared deer in the headlights and we're just staring ahead. No, first of all, we're going to get more comfortable when we start relaxing the face and the body. So, let's do some facial exercises to really loosen up this whole area. We're going to go for an extreme here. We're going to make like a giant clown face in a horror show where we're very exaggerated, and then a big, deep frown as if we are some monster in a on a Halloween TV special. So
Okay,
first of
let's
all,
go.
okay, big smile, big teeth, and down like you're ready to go and stalk something. Again, big, happy, and down deep and angry. You're going to feel how you're much more relaxed all around the mouth and the jaw, especially. You can even get the eyebrows into it. So if you've ever been into any of those children's museums, science museums, where you can move parts of the face, we're going to make the eyebrows go up and down. So up high and down and down, because a lot of us furrow our brows and we don't want to look like we're angry on camera. So just up and down a little bit. Then let's move to the mouth and to the vocal delivery. The mouth can keep us very, very tight, and we want the words to come nice and clearly. So, we're going to start off with some silly tongue exercises. And yeah, this is not worrying about what you look like on camera, because we are going to be panting like a dog. This is how we work up to it. First of all, take your tongue and go side to side. If it helps to vocalize, go for it. And then up and down, and
Mouth corner to mouth
corner,
corner.
corner, corner, lip, upper lip. Dump the chin, and then pant like a dog. Get a deep breath, and what that does is loosen the tongue. And all of a sudden, well, we feel like we can speak a little bit better. You can also do what a lot of voice actors might do is put a cork in your mouth, say something first before you're on camera, and take it out, and it'll come across much more clearly. Or pick a funny voice and say something in a bizarre voice, and then say it in your regular voice, and you'll find that is much more natural. And of course, there are tongue twisters. If you like Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers, go for it. Or you can even do some simple vocal exercises that they teach to the voice actors. For example, just the numbers 1 through 10 and alternate going high and low, like one normal, then two, three, four, five, six. You get the idea. You're just exploring your range. You can even put something together like vowels and consonants. So if you go through the consonants in the alphabet and put each vowel after it, you might have ba, bay, bee, bai, boo, ka, ke, ki, di, do, da, de, di, di, do, fa, fe, fi, fi, fu, ga, ge, so forth. It warms it up. And then you can speak a little more fluently. So those are a few things just to get you going. And all the mindset that I was giving earlier. Okay. And the nice thing is, if for any reason you screw up, guess what?
Do it again.
You can edit in post. Don't overdo
Absolutely.
it. And that's why I'm also going to say, if you're going to try making a video, and that's what I help a lot of clients with, don't do it umpteen times. You're going to get exhausted. It's not going to be fresh or spontaneous. Do it no more than 3 or 4 times. Honestly, number two is probably the golden one. One was your warm up. But here are some other tips and tricks. It's a little early in the morning for me that
Before we
we
go into the next tips and tricks, please remember then, Laura, I would like to
Yeah.
ask you one specific question that I used to wander around that, and I know lots of people feel a lot of discomfort with it because I always say create as much when someone's starting out, building a personal brand, being on social media, wanting
Yes.
to teach master classes and deliver in front of camera, whatever the format might be, that create as much as possible as soon as possible, and then look at the data, what works, what not, but also look at yourself. Like, we need to improve our skill set. We need to get better in looking at camera, speaking freely, message delivery, becoming an effective communicator, et
Yes.
cetera, et cetera. What so many people can't do is listening to their own voice. And you said, like, do something first in a funny voice so your own voice sounds like more normal or even familiar. Why do we have that? Do you have an answer for us? Why can't we look back on our own videos and why we're feeling cringe and embarrassed and all kind of things, and which actually prevents us from doing the best work ever, which is improvement?
Oh, because it's so hard. We are judging ourselves much more harshly than anybody else would. And we're fixating on all the things we didn't do right instead of the stuff that we did. And I think if anybody were to take an informal video of themselves and just put it up there and not even notice it, but you're talking to a friend or you're kind of going to the grocery list and see how you look when you're not trying, you might find that you like that person. Yeah, that's me. That
How
person is
you
real.
look when you are not trying. I think this is something remarkable,
Yes.
something to remember, friends. Yeah.
Because people all of a sudden think they're on a stage. And it could be that maybe when you were a little kid and you did plays, you felt like you had to project to the back of the room and you had to be bigger and you had to be more entertaining or people won't watch you. That is not true on camera. It is a small frame. We're in a box. Okay. So we realized the microphone, the camera is going to pick us up naturally. And this is the big change that any actor who comes from stage has to make when they go to film or TV, because it's a much more intimate thing. And the camera is right there, the mic is right there, and they want you to speak normally. You will even find, and it was a big trend, I don't know, about 10, 15 years ago, where a lot of TV actors would whisper their lines because it created intimacy. Yeah, to be annoying, it was overdone. But the point of it is, you don't have to be big and loud and brash. You just got to be yourself. And you don't have to always look straight ahead at the camera. If you're trying to think of something or you're trying to make sure you don't forget what your points are, have them on a little list next to you. And there's nothing wrong with looking at it, thinking about it, taking a pause, and then talking. You're not on. People think that when you are instantly going to be performing. And what I'm hoping to shift is the idea that you're not performing, you're just being. The camera happens to catch you. Like when you're, think of the camera as a friend sitting across from you, it's a friend talking to you at a cafe or across a kitchen table or across a desk, and you're having a normal conversation. And that's what people invited to their living rooms. And so we immediately see that when we are watching ourselves, we're not any of that. And we're not looking right. And our words are very stilted because we're more concerned with memorizing what we have to say and saying it right. The whole idea of being right and perfect than saying what's really in our hearts. Because I would see a lot of speakers when they're just getting started and they're not magnetic because it's very clear they're in their own heads. They're more focused on looking good, saying everything beautifully and perfectly, and it's not necessary. Stumbled a bit in this interview. So what? Who doesn't? Now, if you got a lot of
an hour conversation,
Now, if you have a problem with filler words, like you're relying on like and and you know a lot, that's something we can work on. But once in a while, and or using the wrong word, guess what? You're human. It's natural.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also natural to look away from the camera and to think or to take time and to vary your pace and tone and not perform and be yourself and be your quirky self. That's what people like.
That's what people try when they try to memorize full masterclasses of 75 minutes. I mean, you know your thought, you know the expert, you know the subject matter that you're going to be teaching, but often people don't dare to look at their notes, and this discomfort of a pause that I had too when I learned this during my speaking education, and I could implement it just recently where I moderated spontaneously a little fundraiser here in town. And actually the pause, as you say, that you look a little bit down, you look a little bit to the side, you refocus, and then you deliver your message. You look, you focus, you rethink, and then you say something. What this does, and I noticed this so much, that it gave the people the chance to focus on me because everybody was distracted. They were buying drinks. They were buying lottery tickets. They were listening before they just to a nice song, and they were still enthusiastic about the music and chit-chat, etc. So that moment of a thought, which is so uncomfortable for so many because they feel awkward, people going to think of me, they might think I don't know what I'm going to say, etc., is all total BS, because the truth is it will give people the chance to focus on you.
The power of the pause is one of my favorite dynamic delivery techniques. And it does a few things. First of all, it helps your viewer take in whatever you just shared. It gives them time to process it, to think about it. It can also make you look very thoughtful, like you're really caring and listening. It gives you time to regroup so you can speak a little bit better. It can also be used for fun, for, wait for it, suspense. You know, just see what I did. Just take the time. People automatically go, what? Did I miss something? Oh, and it just makes you more engaging. And that's what you want to be, is engaging and memorable and true to whatever you're trying to tell.
Now, I want to know some more tips and tricks on
Yes.
on the voice delivery specifically. So there
okay.
is, I experience often when I talk to people in coachings, in real conversations, people are fun people. They have jokes. They are kind of, you know, they have an attitude. They are characters. They know what they want. They know what they deliver. But the moment you put them on this little reel on Instagram, or you put them in front of camera and I watch those reels, they're like, it's monotone. I see the fear. And suddenly the voice itself changes into something that no longer represents that same human being I just talked to 2 days ago, where I'm like, where did that love, the energy, the excitement for your work, where did it go? How can we get that back, even if you're perhaps nervous or uncomfortable being in front of camera? And I just want to mention here, friends, if you're listening to this, Laura just teaching us being in front of camera is a subject learned. Like, no one's teaching you in school, and it's also not the most natural thing. It's just that we haven't really transitioned into the full digital era yet as human bodies. Like, we know it exists, we know it works, but it is quite, it's, I don't even know if it'd ever be natural to speak in a Zoom box and feel like, ah, oh, this is the most normal thing I do in the world. So don't feel awkward about that. But let's go back to this voice thing.
Yes.
How do we get over the fact to, you know, to just sound so monotone?
Okay, I'm going to give you a simple trick. But first of all, I want to talk about two extremes. People either clam up and go monotone, as you said, or they go very presentational. Now, I'm going to bring in one on-camera acting trick and one voiceover trick. I'm going to start off with a voiceover trick. What really is essential is a conversational read. This is the biggest thing that any voice actor has to do. And this is more US based. If you have listeners in Europe, it's a lot less so. But when you are giving a commercial, when you are voicing a character, it's supposed to be very, very conversational. And so you have to have those natural inflections and you've got to find that middle space. So how do you do it? You rely on the on-camera acting trick. And this is something everybody can do. Listen up. You probably have a good friend. Maybe it's a relative, maybe even your mother. You never know. Somebody who believes in you, loves your message, supports you, and wants you to succeed. And you feel good talking to that person. Get a little picture of them and put it right next to your camera lens. Then talk to that person. Pretend, and you don't have to stare directly into the little green dot or whatever color it is. It's close enough. It doesn't much matter. Talk to them. So I can say, Alana, oh, let me tell you about these great techniques I learned. And you talk to that person's face and to their eyes, and it's going to help shift you out of presentational or scared, oh dear, in the headlights to, hey, I'm talking to my friend. I feel better about that. I say that has a big, big difference in anything that you're going to do because you're going to immediately come across as more natural, more conversational. It's going to affect your posture. It's going to affect your expression, the way you talk, and the mode of the talk. It is going to make something a little bit more conversational. Along with all of that, keep in mind nobody really cares what the tone of your voice is or how you look or sound unless it's really obnoxious. You want to hear what you have to say. So your friend wants to know the answer to something you can help with. And if you're not sure if about getting lost, have a cheat sheet next to you. Please don't use a teleprompter unless you know how to use one. That's something I can help with. Or even have something in your hand that you might just refer to and speak and say, yeah, you know, there are several things that I wanted to go over with you. Number one, you can glance down and then think about it, talk about it. You could even do another little actor trick that will help you relax and be conversational. If you have to use something that's written down, use what they call a triangular approach. So, in other words, when actors are taping an audition and they don't want to look like they don't know their lines, and you don't want to look like a chicken pecking, looking down for your lines, you can quickly look down, see what the topic is that you want, just a glance, kind of look off to the side, like a second point of the triangle, like you're thinking about it, and then back to the camera. Now, I wouldn't do it too often because then it looks like, but you get the idea. And that should take a lot of that worry off of you. But again, I would focus on one person, focus on your message, realize people don't care so much and are judging you unless they're a bunch of teenage girls, then all bets are off. But they want to know what you can do to help them. So share from your heart that it's so darn important. The other thing I would strongly urge anybody to do, if you ever thought about it, because I had a client who did this, is have a presentation. And they're reading it line by line, word for word. Please do not ever do that.
Yeah, it
That's
won't be
obvious.
engaging to the person, yes, because
It's people are
otherwise
made
a
up for
PDF would
themselves.
have done a better job if they get it themselves and read it out for themselves, because the focus span would be longer than listening to someone reading lines. I agree, yeah.
Right. Few points there. Let them talk to you, and you know it well enough. And remember, if you're not sure, if you have a question about what you're going to say next, or you have a technical difficulty, guess what? You can stop the camera and start again and fix it in post. It's not the end of the world. So you don't have to get hung up on anything. And if you make a mistake, and you want to go back, here's something else you could do. You could stop, go back to the beginning of that previous sentence or that topic and begin again. And then you know where to cut it. Make it easy for yourself.
Absolutely. So we don't have to repeat the entire presentation we are filming unless it's live, then you need to just reconnect
Exactly.
and continue. But often also people, when we are presenting live, I used to have this. Oh my God, what if I go on a live radio? And I was on a live radio and nothing happened. I didn't forget what I want to say, how I want to say it. The same goes with keynotes when you are presenting live and you think, okay, I'm gonna miss out on my words and what I'm gonna do if. The truth is, if you forget a word, normally there is another word that replaces the word, and you will be just fine because nobody really knows what is in your script. And you will
Yes.
only know that you can deliver once you are delivering it, like thinking about it, that you might not be able to deliver, or thinking about what if I forget. I just can almost guarantee from the experience I have, and I only started public speaking last year, November, that I can say, you will not forget.
No,
There is
and
just something in us. If you are prepared well, you will not forget.
if you're concerned about it, here's something else that actors do to help them learn lines in a script. Have your major points associated with an image, whatever that might be. If you're talking about getting comfortable on camera, I might have in my image the idea of a friend sitting, across the table from me, and we're sharing a cup of coffee. That image is something that is much easier to keep in our brains than a bunch of words. Talk to one person. So you can even have, if it helps you, write it out ahead of time or put little pictures there. Or put it in your brain. But again, we relate our brains intrinsically to stories and images. Before there were words, there were images. And if you're not sure how to describe something, describe the image in your head. Just like I was doing earlier. Just like I was giving you pictures of clowns and monsters and black eyes and everything else. That immediately translates to something you can identify with. And it helps you describe how to. And what and where, and all the other stuff that you need to communicate.
I love that because I do it like I'm very simple in those pictures, so to say, but I have segments in my head that are on the written script. So this is
Oh, yeah.
my, and I know when the word, one word ends, I know how the next begins. It's a lot of practice and a lot of rehearsal, but
Oh,
this gives
yeah.
me the ability to just know. And honestly, if you miss one paragraph, yeah, well, then you missed one paragraph. You might be 1 minute shorter than usual, but I think we have more flexibility in master classes. We have
Oh,
more
yeah.
flexibility when we're at home recording ourselves, and all this stress is so not necessary. Guys, if you have listened to this, Laura has given so much good tips, tricks, and advice, and I'm just really desire for you to go and implement because this is not difficult stuff. Making a face monster and frowning and being a
Your
clown,
toddler could
we
do
all
that.
can do that. And I want just to remind you, when you are alone in your room all by yourself, there is no one watching, and this is just practice we need to do to get better. And there is no reason to be embarrassed about it because I know how that feels when you sit in your room. And I tried to record my very first episode. It was the intro, and I was alone. Even in the whole house, no one was there, and I was embarrassed because I had to listen to my voice. I believe in you that you, everyone listening to this, can get over it. It's a matter of practice. And before we round up these conversations, I have two questions. Where
Sure.
can people find you, Laura?
My website is probably the easiest way to find me, lauradoman.com.
Excellent.
I'm also on social media and I'm on LinkedIn a lot, which is again Laura Doman.
Beautiful. We will put all the links in the show notes with friends. You can just go easily there. With one click, you can connect with Laura and get the help you need. And my last and favorite question is, how would you like to spend your old years?
Oh, I think I already am. You know what? I don't believe we ever have to stop until we are gone. And I believe it is doing what I'm doing right now. And I'm firing on all cylinders. I don't see any reason to stop anytime soon. And I'm just going to continue it. And if I have to eventually just kind of slow it down a bit, that's fine. But I'm enjoying myself. I hope to continue acting and voice acting for as long as anybody wants me there. And also to be able to help people in this area. And again, speaking and writing. So I intend to have fun. It's not over till it's over, folks.
I like that. Not waiting for that pension, not waiting for the day, but actually living it as if it would be just the thing. I think you have found something that is, for you, incredibly, worth living, but also people listening to this. I just want to encourage everyone, take that step. These cameras are not as scary as you might think because they don't do nothing to you. And we will be judged. We will have people who will not be comfortable with your message. There will be people who consciously might not want to see you succeed. But remember that your message and the work you do is so important because the world needs more conscious leaders. And we are so here for it to support you on this journey. Laura, thank you for being an incredible guest today.
Well, thank you so much. And I would love to work with anybody who is trying to get better at this. So just look me up and give me a call.
If you're feeling invisible, having a hard time to break through the noise, inconsistent with creating content, not knowing what to say and how to say it, but deep down you know your message and your work can change people's lives, then listen up. I have created something so powerful for you. It's called the Magnetic Influence Accelerator, a high-touch group program that helps you build a personal brand and visibility strategy that works for you without being glued to your phone 24/7. This isn't about chasing trends or faking authority. It's about showing up clearly, consistently, so you attract clients, collaborations, podcast invites, and real opportunities that grow your business. Inside the program, you will learn how to clarify your message and story so you always know what to say, create content that feels aligned, not forced, build trust through presence and not pressure, grow visibility beyond social media like pitching podcasts and guest posts. And you get coaching, feedback, and a supportive community so you're never doing it alone. Head over to the show notes. The link for more information is right below.